Like, first time he, like, he's just there. And I don't know if Gary Roberts told him to do it, but he's just staring at me. I don't know the guy. I've obviously never fought him. Throat slashing, staring at me. And I said to Robs, I go, what the hell's up with that guy? And he said, I don't know. Just stay away from him. Like, didn't say he's joking or whatever. He's like, I don't know. Just stay away.
So Roberts was on your team?
Yeah, and they were really good buddies. And this guy is doing the throat slash gesture. And I'm like, what the hell did I'm like, I didn't fight anybody. And I got to deal with that guy. And I'm just like, no way.
I'd be pretty jaded if Roberts was the one that put him up to it.
Yeah. I guarantee you he did. Probably said, hey, give this young kid a little
scare.
Jamie,
you know how those old school guys were. If they didn't like a young guy on their own team, they would call a friend of theirs, an old guy on another team, and say, beat the hell out of that guy, please, because I can't stand him.
Or just give him a good scare. You know,
oh, like, anything. Like, just that's how it operated. Just beat up that guy, hit him in the corner, cross-check him in the face, tell him you're going to kill him. And see what he does. That's how sick in the head they were.
That's normal. Well, coaches used to do that back in the day, like in camp. They'd tell, like, if you had a split scrimmage, it'd be like telling someone to go fight someone else. And we're like, we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
But I just want to see what happens. Say, okay, that's normal.
It happens. It does happen.
I don't know if it happens anymore.
No, not anymore. The game's changed. But back in the day, it did happen, for sure.
Back in the day, for sure. Jay's back in town, back in action tonight. And looking good. The Yankees losing last night to Baltimore. Shout out to the Orioles. Here is former MLB pitcher, MLB Network analyst Ryan Dempster back on Overdrive. What's happening, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing very well. We're obviously feeling...
You guys like me, right? Hold on. Before we go any further, I want to make sure you guys like me because I don't want you calling anybody else in any other radio stations and having them kick my butt.
We love you, man.
Okay, cool. All right, we're good.
I wonder what that would look like. You know, if you're doing a radio hit in, you know, Vancouver or Montreal, we said you'd really got to grill this guy because we're not a fan of Dempster. I don't know what that would sound like over the air, but is there a similar type of mentality in the baseball world? If you got a young guy on your team that you don't like, and you know the opposing starting pitcher, would you ever say, "Hey, can you graze this guy or send him a message?" Because we're not the biggest fan over here.
No, we just try to stick him with the bill every time we go to dinner.
That makes more
That's
sense.
The easiest way. Yeah, it hurts a little bit more in the wallet. You know, you can the bruises go away. That wallet sting when you're a rookie. You don't want to dip in there. I like it.
Yeah.
Before we get to hard hitting baseball talk, in hockey, there's a favorite movie that everyone kind of knows. It's Slapshot. Where does Bull Durham or any of those, for the love of the game, like those, baseball movies, do the guys, are they aware of them? Do they quote lines from them? Like, we did that in hockey. Is it the same applied in baseball?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Bull Durham is pretty similar as far as, for my era anyways, that was kind of like the Slapshot of baseball clubhouses. There was always a line. That Major League, I think, were the two.
Yeah.
Every time somebody would ole a ball, you just hear somebody on the bench go, get in front of it. Let's go, Dorn. So there was always those moments going on.
Yeah, I love that idea. We had a guy on the show yesterday, Luke Wilson, who's a Canadian NFL player, and he's retired. He was telling us about the routine in the NFL where the night before a game, everyone stays at a hotel, even if it's a home game, you stay at a hotel. You cannot leave your floor. There is security by the elevator.
And police.
And police and coaches will knock on your door and break into your door and check on you to make sure you're there. And he said, I've heard stories in baseball, it's pretty much the complete opposite. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the rules and regulations on the road? Like, was there ever a curfew at any point in your major league career?
Major league career, no. Minor league career, I think the last time I ever got a knock on the door was A-ball. But you were free to, kind of come and go and do what you wanted in baseball. But just, I get it. There's a lot riding. They work all week for that one game. We're playing games all the time. So, for me, I pitch and then I got 4 days off. If you want to keep me in my hotel room, that's going to be an issue. I think probably, one of the best ones was with the 2013 Red Sox. I had a death threat out because I hit a certain player on another team that played in New York. And so they had, it was like a legit death threat. And they said that anyways, I don't know how legit it was, but so I had extra security with me on the road. Well, we were hanging out in my suite. We had a Jake Peavy plays the guitar, so he's playing the guitar, and we had all the boys in the room. We had dinner, and we were just kind of hanging out, and everybody was dispersing back to their rooms wee hours of the morning. And I just decided it was a good idea to go to Times Square at about, 3:30 or 4 o'clock and take Peavy's guitar and play it in the middle of the street with Johnny Gomes and say, if this guy's going to come for me, I guess it's going to come for now. And so the next day I get up and our head of security's like, Dave Brady, he's like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And I go, well, I just figured that was probably the time. I mean, like, and he goes, did you get any money in your guitar case? I said, no, I'm not very good at guitar. He goes, yes, what happens when you suck at guitar and you wear designer jeans? So
that's awesome. So the night you pitched.
There was no curfew in baseball.
So let me clarify, though. 4 a.m., New York, Times Square, Ryan Dempster is playing a guitar, and there's people walking past you. And they're like, hey, did anyone recognize you?
No, and I got to say something. That is the best time to go to Times Square because there's not many people out there, and it's surreal. It's quiet. There's nobody there, and you kind of just can take it all in. It's almost like a scene out of a movie because it's like really only from about 3:30 to 4:30, and then all of a sudden things start to pick back up again. Here come all the trash trucks picking up everything before the day starts. So kind of if you're looking for something to do in New York City at that time of the day, it's a great place to go.
So you would pitch, and then the night after you pitch, or the night of you pitching when the game's over, how many nights is go time on the road for you? Is it like that night, and then the night after, and then you dial it back, or how did you kind of figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, it's hit and miss. Depends on what city you're in. Depends on, if you have a tee time early in the morning the next day. There's a lot of contributing factors, if you got family in town. When my buddies and brothers came in, it was like, I always loved that, right? So, like, you're playing professional sports for a living. You get paid a lot of money to do your job. But then all your family and friends, come in. My buddies would come in from home. Like, I'm still, great friends with all my grade school buddies. And they're like, let's go. We're going out tonight. And I'm like, yeah, I got to work tomorrow. And so they're like, who cares, And then I go home in the off season. And I'm like, hey, let's go out tonight. And they're like, hey, dude, I can't, man. I got to be in the office. And I'm like, you got three people watching you. I got 40,000 in stands and another million on TV. And you're complaining about having to go. No, you're going out. Let's go. To the Roxy we go. Come on.
Right. I love that idea, the two-way street. The boys on the road, they're like, don't be a loser. Like, who cares that you're pitching tomorrow? But Jim in accounting couldn't dare go out for a couple of beers.
No chance. You had to have that 8 a.m. Arrival at work.
Right. You got to punch in, man. Not possible. You're a bad influence during the off season. We're chatting with Ryan Dempster. So how are you handicapping this wild card race in the AL? It feels like it's a three-team race at this point. Jays, Yankees, Red Sox. If you were to put some money down on the odd team out as of today, who would you put that money on?
As the odd team out?
Yes.
Whoa, I don't know. Something worries me about the way the Yankees are playing. Like, you go in, they're not beating the teams they should be beating, like Baltimore. They're struggling. They're finding ways to lose games rather than win them. So, to me, I that's a concern. I don't think they're as deep in the starting pitching place as the other two teams, but that's just me, and I feel like, the trades that they made, right? Like, Rizzo's done okay since he's got there. He battled through the COVID stuff, so that obviously is an issue, but Joey Gallo hasn't been good at all. And so, it's how you're playing in September for a wild card team that matters, and it's clear and evident right now the best team playing in the American League in September is the Blue Jays, and so they're the hottest team going, and they're starting to really feel it. They're firing on all cylinders. So if I had to pick one to be out, I'd say the Yankees, but, things could change tomorrow. Who knows?
Well, that's the amazing thing, right, where the Jays 2.5 weeks ago, they weren't even really in the conversation. It was fading and going the opposite way, and then they've been red hot ever since, and I don't know if you're a big run differential guy, but if you look at the run differential between these three teams, the Jays are plus 175 on the season. The Sox are plus 60. The Yankees are plus 33. Now, ultimately, it comes down to wins and losses. That is what determines everything. But run differential, analytically speaking, can tell you something. Maybe can tell you more about the below-the-surface stuff. And that would suggest the Jays are just dummying teams and putting up massive runs and not giving up that much, which is a pretty good formula for success.
Yeah, and if you look at kind of like throughout the course of the season, really, they've been in, you know, the top five or six teams, I feel like, in the American League as far as run differential. Scoring runs is not an issue, and I think they have the ability to score runs off of any pitcher. And I think that's super important because when you get to the playoffs, you're going to have the better teams, and therefore you're going to have the better pitching staff, so they're going to be able to score runs off those guys. And what they've done a tremendous job, probably as good as anybody, is they bury bad pitching. Like, if you're not a good pitching staff, they're going to expose you. Like, you know, when they face teams like the Orioles, I mean, you're putting up 11 runs in both games of a doubleheader, they're scoring, you know, 22 runs. They thump some bad pitching. And so that's a little skewed because you're not going to face that type of pitching in the playoffs, but they also can go out there and score runs against guys like Gerrit Cole. They can score runs against the Rays and the way they bullpen and all those kind of things. So they have the ability to do that, and they got some guys now in their bullpen that are kind of coming together at the right time. It's all about timing. Like, yes, you have to have a good team. Of course, we all know that. But when you're playing good baseball, it's vital to be playing good baseball in September, and they're doing that right now. And we've seen it in the past, teams that all of a sudden get in that last 2 weeks of the season, and then they, you know, they make a deep run in the playoffs because they're just firing on all cylinders.
Ryan, Steve Phillips was on SportsCenter the other day here, and he did a breakdown of Robbie Ray, his delivery in Arizona, and how the subtle changes or major changes. I didn't have the volume on, so I couldn't really hear what he was saying. But watching Robbie Ray in Arizona and his transformation, what he's doing here with the Jays, did you ever think he would see that, or how impressive is that transformation?
Yeah, I did. I did think that we would see it. I know that there was a point, I remember the Cubs were trying to get Robbie Ray from the Diamondbacks. This was years ago, and I loved the idea. I just thought he was just nasty. You know, he's got good ride on his fastball, and then he has that wipeout slider. And, you know, you just, in your mind, you go, okay, I mean, this could really click, you know, at some point. And he was already having some good years, and, you know, he was doing his thing. He strikes out a lot of guys. That's never been an issue. But I'm like, if command becomes really good, this guy can be upper echelon, and he's showing that. And, you know, he tweaks some things. He finds, you know, something that works. And that's the evolution of a pitcher. Not everybody just comes in the league and just dominates right away. There's actually very few guys that do that. It takes, you know, some innings in the big league level. And he's found a place that he's really comfortable with. He obviously likes working with the pitching coach there, whether the analytics department really helps him, R&D, whatever it is. But something has really clicked, and he has got a chance to win the Cy Young. As good a chance as anybody else in the American League. And it's been a ton of fun to watch. And he's a guy that I'm sure the Blue Jays would love to have in their rotation going forward, too. But he's a guy that's going to start the first game of the playoffs for you and go out there and shut down a really good lineup. Good pitching will beat good offense, and he's a good pitcher, so he has a chance to beat any lineup out there.
Great stuff as always, Ryan. Thank you for doing this, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And next time I'm in New York and we're there, we're going to Times Square. You got it?
We will nice. Fly in. 4:30 in the morning, we'll meet you at Times Square.
You got it. All right, folks.
There he is, Ryan Dempster, longtime pitcher and good Canadian boy, Western boy. You guys, I'm sure, can relate to that, where your buddies show up to your work and they're like, don't be a loser, don't be a nerd,
yeah,
we're
let's
going
go,
up.
Let's go.
And then
yeah,
in the summer,
you know,
you come home.
Times I would walk to the bus and just take a peek. I was on my way to go say hi. You see the state they're in after the game, and you just keep going to the bus.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not doing it. Just go.
But then you come home in the summer, they're like, no, I can't do that. I got stuff I got to do tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, you know their routine, right? It's like, let's go see our buddy play in Montreal. So they get into Montreal on the Friday night. Guess what they're doing at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning?
Oh, yeah.
Game time, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brunch,
Greased.
And it's cocktails, and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole,
listen,
the whole
night. We've all been there, and we've all, you know, one way or the other. Like, you know, I go home at, if I go home in the summer and I want to go out on a Tuesday night, my buddy's like, oh, I got a, you know, big meeting tomorrow. But yet, you're right, down, you know, if they're in Calgary or wherever I played, boy, it's game on regardless. Because come on, you know, come
How
on,
dare
you're, not
you
gonna,
don't go
you're not playing anyways. You're the backup. Like, don't worry about the other guy. The guy would be fine. And, you know, it's excuse after excuse. And then you only get caught once in a while. That's the thing where, If you get tripped up or have to go in or there's an injury or something like that, you're in tough shape.
Oh, big time.
Now you're in trouble. Now you're in one.
That's the ultimate gamble. Yeah, if you don't think you're playing, there's always a chance you could at some point last minute. But yeah, as for Robbie Ray and his dominance, I saw this yesterday. Leading the American League in ERA, strikeouts, quality starts, and innings pitched. So for me, he should be the Cy Young winner as of today. It's him or Cole, I think, at this point. And, you know, Cole's been spectacular as well. Gerrit Cole has not won a Cy Young. So the whole narrative of Robbie Ray being someone different, Cole's been on the radar for a long time.
How has he not won a Cy Young?
I think he's been second a couple of times. He's been top five like four or five times.
It's like the Shea Weber then.
God. Yeah, he's just right there.
Shea Weber was always kind of in that conversation.
Yeah, but this guy is like
an animal.
He's the dominant alpha dog. It's just like I can't believe he hasn't won one.
Yeah, well, and then you got, again, Robbie Ray. Lance Lynn's had a great year too, but I think it's Ray or Cole at this point.